Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, this probably won't be the easiest story for you to hear today, but I think it's an important story, and it's one that is lurking just beneath the surface that I think the vast majority of us would pretty much be clueless and would remain clueless about this going on in the world. And I think we're aware of it, but to be aware of it in a close and personal way is very unusual for most of us. And some of you have heard me tell a story of a friend of mine, David, that when I first met him, he approached me after a Bible study and introduced himself and just wanted to share. And he told me at the time that he was looking at several years in a federal penitentiary for possession of child pornography. That was our opening conversation. He ended up doing over 5 years, and we became fast friends. And it's nothing short of miraculous. Lazarus out of a tomb, miraculous to see what God has done in his life and his wife's life. And she stayed with him through all of that. And a lot of wreckage, a lot of pain, a lot of darkness. But God has turned all of that into an amazing testimony. And God is using both of them in many powerful ways today. And then recently that David introduced me to my guest today, David Proctor, who is within the next couple of months will start serving time for probably at least 10 years for aiding and abetting and being involved in that world of child pornography personally himself. And he grew up in the church. And David, my other David, introduced me to this David who's with me here in the studio today. But God has already started to do miraculous things in and through this young man's life. And I think based on God's promises in Scripture and what I've seen him do in my other friend David's life, that we can fully expect God to continue that, whether it's another 5 years, 10 years, or whatever happens, given the criminal justice system. And David Proctor is his name, and he's going to share a very difficult story with us today. But like I said, we've already seen God moving, and I think we can fully expect, based on the authority of Scripture, to see that continue in the future. David, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me here, Steve.
You're welcome. That seems like kind of an empty question for me to ask at this point, because this, you know, most of us, I can't relate. Most people can't relate to what you're facing. But in this moment, you've got court dates coming up. You've been caught. The evidence is in, all that kind of stuff. There's really no question here about that. But how are you doing? I mean, just you're in a dark world right now.
I am, but I tell you one thing, I was probably in a darker world before I got caught, and now since I've been caught and gone to jail for a little bit of time, and right now I'm off on bail, and before I go back, I tell you, I've never been happier in these few months I've been out of jail, and on my walk with Christ again, and just getting closer to him, finding him all over again. I feel like I turned my back on him a long time ago, and just wanted to do my own thing, and now I've gotten back to finding him, and it's amazing the stuff I went through in jail, the time I was in there, and what I saw God do for me and how he worked in there for me, how he protected me. And ever since I've been out, just a time with my family. Yeah. I have my family here with me today, as you know, and just everyone's supportive in my family. The loved ones that I have and everyone, they're just so supportive of me. They haven't turned their back on me, and it's a blessing. It really is. There's so many blessings I can still thank the Lord for.
Amen.
Even though it is a dark story, you wouldn't find yourself there, and if you asked me when I was 18, 19, no, I would have never said this would be where I was, and never would have dreamed of it. But now that I'm here, and I face it head on with the Lord, and that's the best thing I can do, because he's the one I need on my side.
Now, you mentioned that you're doing better now, essentially, since you've been caught, since it's come out into the light. What do you mean by that? How is that possible?
Well, I'm not living two lives anymore, Steve. It's kind of like a weight off my shoulder right now. I was hiding everything, lying to my parents. I was almost in my own jail cell at the house. I shut myself off from the world, did my own thing all the time, got into the drug world and stuff, and I really wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with myself and the things I was doing. I was lying all the time. I was angry. And now since I've been out, a weight's lifted off my shoulder. I have nothing left to hide. It's kind of out in the open. You obviously can Google anything and find something nowadays, so you can't lie to anybody. It's going to be there for the rest of my life, and it's almost – And in disguise, it's a blessing. I just, now I'm me. I'm who I am. I'm who the Lord made me to be. So. Yeah.
What, well, tell me a little bit about your upbringing. I think a lot of people will wonder, you know, and we'll talk about this. How did you end up where you ended up involved in child pornography? But your parents are here. I met your dad not that long ago at a Friday morning Bible study. Wonderful people that love the Lord. And, you know, it's kind of like, where do things go wrong? But take us back. We don't need to spend a ton of time on that. But tell us a little bit about your upbringing and how you started down this road.
Well, I was brought up in a loving family from my grandparents to my parents. My whole family was always there. My dad's parents, my mom's parents, they were both there for me all the time. Played sports my entire life. I went to church every Sunday, you know, was involved very much in Logos and anything that had to do with kids and all that stuff and growing up that you do and when you're young and with the church. Any kind of plays we did at church. So I grew up in church a whole lot, and church was a big part of my life, and I loved it, and I was a main part of church. As I got older, I just kind of lost it. Our church kind of got smaller and smaller. I think I got into high school and just kind of wanted to do my own thing and just ran away. Started playing sports more and finding reasons not to go to church. But, I mean, I haven't really lost them in my heart, but in a way I turned my back on them.
Yeah. When did the road down into pornography start? How did that get going?
Well, probably when I was out of high school a little bit. I was getting into depression and just lonely, and I found all my friends going off to college, and I kind of chose not to go to college and work, and just was lazy and stuff. So I went on to the online world to try to escape into that and find different ways to make me happy. And you never start off just doing it. At first, it starts off just regular porn and talking to people on chat sites, and it gets deeper and deeper. Next thing you know, you are entering a chat site that you never guessed would have sent you something of child pornography in any kind of way. I mean, it just happens like that. And I also, when I got out of college and got into my 20s, I started doing cocaine, and that really made me not care. That was trying to get off of that, and I was self-medicating with marijuana for the anxiety probably I had.
What do you think you were dissatisfied with in your life? Because you mentioned self-medicating. We talked about this the other day when we met. What was dissatisfying in your life? What kind of goals were you not achieving? What kind of level were you not getting to? We're coming up on a break, so hold your answer to that, and
okay.
We'll dive into that when we come back. We're talking to David Proctor today, who is facing, realistically, at least 10 years in jail for being involved in child pornography, aiding and abetting, a couple other things. You'll learn more about that. But God is on the move. God is working in his life, and God will continue to use him in the future. We're hearing about that today on the show. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. An incredibly compelling, difficult story that has been developing and getting darker for years, as David Proctor is with me today in the studio and into the world of child pornography. And what's the specific charge, David? I want to make sure we're accurate about that.
It's distributing, aiding, and abetting.
Distributing, aiding, and abetting. And you're looking at, what, at least 10 years? Is that about right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I met David Proctor through my other friend David, who had been down this road himself and spent over 5 years in a federal facility, and was a much better letter writer than I ever was. But God ministered to me a lot through that and through David. And God's using David in an incredible way. I was just asking David Proctor off the air if you want to join us on Facebook Live, facebook.com/C2A Radio. We're live in the studio right now. We were talking. So if you're on the radio, you're missing it. Okay, so let's just give God his props. It's a great show. 4 segments a day, because God is in charge, and I'm just trying to follow his lead. But it's an even better show on Facebook Live, because while you guys are listening to commercials, which are great and important, we continue having a conversation. So we never really go off here in the studio. So if you want to join us, facebook.com/C2A Radio. But I asked David to read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it talks about you are to comfort others with the comfort that you have received. And I was asking him before the break, we were talking about how it's better now because it came out of the darkness, and then going down the road into pornography, and you know, you start off just kind of, I don't know, if was it loneliness? What do you think was driving you to that? Your parents are wonderful people. Your dad's a successful businessman. You got out of high school, And, you know, you were doing different jobs and stuff. But what do you think was going on that made you feel like you had a hole that had to be filled?
I think I just was never happy deep down with myself. I knew that my parents were very successful. My whole entire family is on both sides. Their parents are very successful. My sister is very successful. And I wasn't a bad student. I was successful in sports and everything I did. I just don't think I was ever good enough. I did have some loneliness inside, but I always thought I could do so much more, and I would always put everyone on a pedestal like my parents for all the success that they have. And I put them on a pedestal, and they are wonderful people. It is not any of their fault. But at the same time, I just looked and I was like, I can never live up to that. And I just wanted to live up to it so bad. And deep down, I was telling myself, I can never live up to that. I just can't do it. I can't do it. And I was never happy. I was never happy with myself.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what got me to just keep going darker and darker and darker, to think I can't do it. I'm going to be left behind, you know?
Were there times, David, as you progressed and you were doing a lot of things in the chat room, and then obviously the pornography that you were exposed to was getting darker, as you said, in younger ages. Did you have some moments of sobriety? I mean, mental sobriety, emotional sobriety, when you're sitting there going, what the heck am I doing?
Yes, I did. A lot of times I would wake up in the morning and I didn't even want to touch my phone because I knew what I was doing, and I couldn't do it, and I was just ashamed of myself and what I'd done the night before. And I go to work, I might be sober for 3 days and go through that, but come again, it would all hit me in depression and stuff. And I did have a very good support system there that stuck behind me and showed me love. But
did anybody know?
No, I hid it from everybody, really. I didn't want my parents to know. I didn't want anyone to know. Everyone, you can't hide every demon. You know, when you're doing stuff and everything.
Sooner or later, those things come out of the water.
Exactly. They're going to notice different stuff about you. And I would just lie and lie and make them feel bad, and I shut my parents out too, and I was rude to them, and I was very hard against my parents. That was a whole lot, and other people that I loved, I was very hard against them.
Yeah, and one of the things that for everybody listening and there on Facebook, David's parents are here. They're in the studio, both his mom and his dad, and of course the other David, my other friend David, who introduced me to David Proctor and his dad, and now got a chance to meet his mom today. So you have not only the bonds of a family, which are being stretched and tried, but the bonds of Christian love and Christian fellowship, which are unbreakable. I mean, no matter how bad it gets, it's unbreakable if we're really going to follow Christ well. And we'll hear from one, maybe even both of David's parents before we're done today. But let's talk about how it kind of got discovered. And I know you have to be careful. This is an ongoing concern legally, and court's dates coming up and stuff. But clearly, you know, what's your plea in court?
My plea is on the 5th,
yeah.
But I do plead guilty.
Yeah, you plead guilty. Yeah. So again, we're looking at probably a minimum of 10 years. Is that right?
I'm hoping less, but yeah. It's going to probably be more than that.
Yeah, God moved in the other David's case.
It could be anywhere from 5 to 20 years,
yeah.
But there are a guideline system, and it's based on the judge and how the judge is and how the judge views me.
Is it the same judge that David had?
It is the same judge, and he showed mercy on David.
I was there that day. It was amazing.
So, you know, I'm hopefully, you know, God, it works in him and sees the same in me as he did that, David.
How'd you get caught?
Well, I was online and actually was talking to undercover cops and got in the chat rooms and two undercover cops actually from different states, talking to them. And that's actually where I distributed to both of them. And over time, we still talked, and then one day at work, I showed up to work, and they were waiting for me, wanting to talk about
everything.
Where
were you working at the time?
I was working for my father at the time. So they showed up right there, and they were talking to me outside for several hours. And after that, you know, they had taken my phone.
Once you understood what was going on,
yeah.
I mean, what did that do to you? How did you react? How did you feel?
Well,
especially you're there at your dad's business.
Yeah, well, my heart sank. I was just hoping. Well, they came up to me and had all a bunch of questions to ask. And I, you know, he kept telling me, you don't have to stay. You don't have to stay and talk to us. And finally, my dad was like, well, you either need to arrest him or we need to go because we got to work. And I finally said, okay, well, I'm going to go. I'm going to work. And then he pulled out a warrant for my phone. Mm-hmm. And at that point, your heart drops.
Yeah.
You know, I looked at my dad. I don't know if he ever saw me, but I know I looked at him and I handed the phone. I said, I'm sorry, you know, because I knew I was going to be arrested if they ever got my phone. And I took the phone right away, and we spent about 3-4 hours just in the parking lot right there as he would walk back and forth, finding different stuff, questioning me about different stuff and everything. And I was very honest and open with them, and they wanted to use all my stuff and use my passwords to catch other people. Yeah. I signed off. You know, I was very open, and I'm very willing to work with them. Sure, I really was.
And I'm sure that that makes a big difference, and it means a lot to them. Where does your relationship with the Lord start to come back into this story?
Well, once I finally got arrested, I went into jail. And like you said, I mean, it's kind of like you see on TV for your first time. When those doors slams, reality hits you. And God just was, I mean, he looked after me. It's like he had a bubble around me, a 3-foot bubble that no one could come in. And he put me with people that got me right back immediately. I saw them reading the Bible. The guy in the bunk underneath me was reading the Bible. The guy beside me was reading the Bible. Jeez. I mean, it's like, here's God.
You thought you were going to jail and you ended up in church.
I did, and I really did. We called one of them preacher, and he knew scripture and where the Bible verses were, and he knew it from the heart. And the guy underneath me was very enthusiastic. I mean, he never got down. He was in there for already 8 months. He's facing probably more time than me if he's convicted. We don't know. But he was just always telling me, "You'll be okay. You'll be okay with the Lord. You'll be okay." And then again, there's one of them that we call a preacher. He ended up leaving it, and God works again. He puts someone that knows even more about the Bible, that's been studying the Bible and Christianity for since 95.
And you told me a story the other day. We're going to get to that when we come back, and then I want to get one of your parents, or maybe both of them, we'll see, when we come back. But a great story about what happened with a prayer meeting. That God called David into service right there in the prison. And what happened is, well, nothing short of miraculous. This is Steve Noble with my friend, my eternal brother, David Proctor. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Called to Action Radio. This is Steve Noble talking today to my new friend and an eternal friend, because he's my brother in Christ, David Proctor. David grew up in a nice home, wonderful parents, God-fearing people, successful, and wasn't achieving the things that he thought he was supposed to achieve, and life just wasn't going in a way that felt like it was fulfilling, from my understanding of spending some time with David the other day. And of course, he's unpacking his story today on the show. And just started kind of going, like a lot of people, so don't wag your fingers so much, because about 60% of pastors have reported that they struggle with pornography. So this is an epidemic problem. I'm not pure as the wind-driven snow in my past as well, so I don't think any of us have a whole lot of room to be throwing stones when we all live in glass houses. But praise the Lord that as he went down this road and got kind of deeper and darker and into the world of child pornography, he got caught, ended up in some chat rooms talking to police officers, and they came to his father's place of business where David was working at the time, and started questioning him, and comes out of the dark and into the light where Satan's no longer in control. And David said it right at the beginning of the show that he's doing better now than he was not that long ago, because everything's out, everything's honest. And he's moving forward with this charge to keep, as we're going to see, and you're going to hear this story. And so they eventually arrested you, David. And again, thank you so much for being here and your willingness to share.
Well, thank you for letting me share my
story.
You're
very welcome. Mi casa, su casa is what I always say. I'm not giving you anything that's mine. This is the Lord's show, and I'm just trying to be a good steward. But there's a story you told me just recently, and then we're going to get your mom, Marcia, in here. But the story, you're in county lockup. And you were just saying, you know, God starts putting preachers around you, guys that are in jail, that are full of the Spirit and know the Word. But tell me about, there was a kind of a prayer thing happening. But the attendance wasn't very well, which is, by the way, normal whether you're in jail or in a church. That's like one of the least attended things going on is the prayer meeting. So tell us about that. This is awesome.
Well, like you said, we had a prayer call that was every single night at 10:30, right before bed.
How many guys in the block?
There was 56 people altogether in the pod that you stayed in, and only about 8 to 12 people would come to the prayer call.
And this is kind of like a big open dorm room kind of thing.
It's open. There's bunk beds on each side. It's wide open. They can see us every time we pray right in the back of the room. They always saw us. So anyways, I started getting the Bible study leading that, and there was one day, back and forth, I've been going for the last 2 or 3 weeks in there, that I was going to get out. My parents kept saying, "You're getting out. This is your last weekend." Then something would come up. That, you know, they put it off. They put it off. Well, this finally came in on this weekend. I was getting out. This was going to be my definite last weekend. So Sunday night, I'm laying in bed. And I'm like, how would it be to see this whole entire pod at prayer call? You know, all 56 of us. And I woke up Monday morning and I started spreading the word to one or three guys or so, just kind of leaders of different group that you could tell were taking charge. So I spread the word to them and told them what I wanted to do. And I prayed to God that God would make it happen. Well, at about 9:45, when I normally call my parents, the phone cut off at 10, I called them. And right off the bat, I could tell something was wrong with my mom. And, you know, normally when I ask what's wrong, she always, you know, plays it off, nothing, nothing. But this time she straight up said, yes, something's wrong. And I said, what is it? And she told me, she said it went federal and I'm not getting out. Now, at that point in time, I guess, you know, you think you're going out. And at that time, it also hits you. That's a minimum of 5 years I'm going to be doing. And it hits you like a rock. And you're thinking of the worst roller coaster you could be on right now. You're flipping, you're turning, you're doing circles. My stomach's just in knots. So I hang up the phone about 10, and I'm walking back to my bunk, and I don't hear anything. I don't hear the people talking. It's like I'm not even there. I'm just in shock, complete shock. I got 30 minutes before I got to do this prayer. I've already put the call out. I don't know if anyone's going to show up. I don't know if everyone's going to show up. I didn't have to do it, though, because I didn't lead the Bible study. So I still had my way out. I hadn't talked to the guy yet. I hadn't even talked to him. He was still going to do it. So I had a way out. And in the midst of all this, about 15 minutes, too, I just felt the Lord basically tell me, no, you've done this. You started this. Finish what you started.
Yeah, I know.
So I walked up to him and I said, hey, do you mind if I do prayer call tonight? And he said, man, I'd appreciate that because I have nothing. I said, okay, I'll do it. And I'm literally shaking at this point. I can hardly talk. And sure enough, 10:30 rolls around. And what is about 8 or 12, all of a sudden the circle starts getting bigger. And the circle starts getting bigger and bigger. And I'm shaking more. My heart's dropping even
God's
more.
Enlarging your
yeah.
arms.
Here's God showing, look, you asked for this, and I'm doing exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And here I am still thinking, Lord, I said on my last day here, this is not my last day. I'm going to be here still. And I can't believe it. I mean, they showed up. You know, it was 8 to 12, and you only had about 8 or 12 people that didn't join, and really they were the non-speaking English people, the Hispanics, people from Honduras, all speak that didn't speak English, that did not show up.
You had 40-plus guys in the circle.
Yeah,
all of a sudden.
I had 40-plus people in this circle, and I'm standing in the middle, and I'm still going on a roller coaster. I can't hardly talk, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I really don't, and I don't have any prayer planned out. I mean, I was going to take the last 30 minutes to plan something. I didn't plan anything. And I'm standing there, and so I do this, and I tell everyone, I said, y'all bow your heads. I want you to just say softly to yourselves who you want this prayer to go out to. And I took about 20 seconds of that. And in those 20 seconds, I just felt God. And he just lifted. Everything that just happened to me was lifted. I felt free. My stomach wasn't turning. I could talk loud, and I could talk with authority. And it's like the Holy Spirit just came into
man.
Me.
That's what it
and I did, and I don't remember every prayer, but I can remember that I just preached from the heart. I preached exactly what God wanted me to, and I said that you know, in this world, that the Christians are really becoming the minority in this world, that we're not the majority much anymore. And in that jail and that pod, that we were the minority. And I wanted God to look down and smile and see these people that knew God was in their heart, even though they might have been scared to come up, no matter if it was their gang affiliation or their race or anything like that. I wanted them to see how they put all that aside and they all stood together. And I said, Lord, I want you to smile on these people because they put everything aside, all our differences, and they came here for you, Lord. Where today, where we were the minority, now today we stand as a majority.
How about that?
And I can't remember much of it, and I wish I could. I prayed that it would come back to me, but I thank God. I said, nope, that was a one-time prayer. I remember bits and pieces of it like that, but he said, that's a
that
one-time
offering's
prayer.
Gone, baby.
Yeah,
that's,
he's like,
in heaven.
Yeah, he's like, I preached, and I mean, when I left that, the whole feeling of shock came right back to me. But he really did lift just everything off just so he could speak through me to all that. And everyone came up to me and told me what a wonderful job. And the next night, they all showed right
they
back
all showed
up.
Up.
They all showed right
the
back up.
Non-English speaking guys were there.
They all, well, we got them involved. And, you know, we did have one guy that could translate for him. So he did translate for him the next night. and everything. And I have to give props to that pod since I've left. They do still talk about me, and I still talk to some of them. And they do have a Hispanic Bible study and a regular Bible study going on in there. And
were you involved in those too, the Bible study?
I was involved in the Bible study leading it, and that was another thing I was scared about doing because I never really led official Bible study. And Logos, I did lead some, but not one that's going to be 40 minutes to an hour long. Well, I'm like, how am I going to talk for that long?
Yeah, and so you know? I think, you know, that God's just given you a glimpse. This isn't going to be time in the wilderness. This is going to be time in the orchard where you will be planting and watering and sowing, and you'll be caring for people and learning yourself. I mean, Paul, once he got saved and his vision came back to him, he took off. He's gone for 10 years before he ever started preaching. And he just took off, and he was ministered to by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to bring your mom in here right quick. Marcia's here. And so we're going to – all these radio professionals coming in today in the studio. David's mom, Marcia's here with us. Marcia, just put your headphones on and then get the microphone so where it's nice and comfortable. Pull it up nice and close. And let me make sure it would help if I had your microphone on. I'm the professional, but, you know, hey, Steve, slide. Anyway, welcome to the show, Marcia. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. So let me ask you this, and stay really close to the mic because you're gentle and soft-spoken. When you found out, I mean, this is your son, you're a mom. We have four kids in my house. I can't begin to imagine what it was like for you, but try to help us go to where you were when that all kind of came out, when you found out what David was doing.
Very shocked, very surprised, but still had no clue how much trouble he was in. No clue at all.
I don't think anyone did.
No, we were, when he gets out of this, we're going to buckle down. He's going to, you know, all these changes. And so it took about 2 days before we realized how much trouble he was in. And in the months since, how many people are into this and exposed to this? He's not in there by himself.
No. Sadly, it's epidemic proportions. We think it's one here and one there, but it isn't. And it's not just here. It's around the country and it's around the world. How do you process through this? You have decisions to make as a parent. And I can't imagine ever completely divorcing myself from my children. But, you know, our kids do things that disappoint us. My kids disappoint me and my wife. But what kind of decisions do you have to make as a mom as you see your son going down this road and involved? I'm just up on the break, so it's bad timing. Please forgive me. But stay right there because we're going to keep talking. So what kind of decisions do you make as a parent, and how are they handling it now? And what about the future? We're going to keep talking to Marcia and her son, David. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And before we're done today, we'll get my other friend, David. Too many Davids in the room. Thank you, Marcia, that your name isn't David. Praise the Lord. But we'll get the other David, who's also served time himself, with the word of encouragement. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Forever of discovery. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you, talking to David Proctor today, who sometime in the next couple months will begin serving. At the very least, it'll be 5 years. It could be 10 or more. And aiding and abetting involved with child pornography, and ended up talking to, didn't know it at the time, communicating with a couple of police officers online. And that's eventually how they showed up at his place of employment, which happened to be his dad's business. And so all that came out of the ground. When was that? When was the day everything kind of came out of the ground and came out of the dark like that?
June 22nd.
And then, and so, of course, going through this whole process and an amazing story about how God used David in the pod there in county lockup, and in the prayer group, which was normally 8 to 10 or 12 guys, all of a sudden was pretty much the whole pod, 56, 58 guys. And now we're talking to David's mom, Marcia, as a parent, and which I can't relate. Obviously, most of us can't. But, you know, we all go down the roads where our kids do things that disappoint us, or they don't do things the way we should. But you've said, and you mentioned this off the air, Marcia, I mean, your church, your close family, friends, and your family has stuck by your side.
And I have.
Did you expect that?
Yes, I did. I did. As bad as this is, the friends you have, the ones that know you, the ones that know David, they know who David is.
Yeah.
I hate what's happened and where he's been, but I'm happy he's not there anymore.
Yeah. Amen.
And they're there for support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so getting past the initial shock and then it's becoming your reality. How are you dealing with it today? Because now you're right in the middle of it in court and all that kind of stuff. And then talk to us a little bit about the future. What are you, how are you feeling about the future and David's sentencing coming up? Take us kind of through where you're going there.
Well, every day is different. Every day is hard. Very emotional days. And then some days I'm very strong. And he's helped make me stronger. From day one getting out of jail, I can just tell a huge difference in him. When I'm upset, he just says, "We're going to be all right, Mom. Everything's going to be fine." I'm scared to death. But I was also scared when he was in county jail. And I would pray, just take care of him, look after him.
Yeah.
And you heard his story.
Yeah.
There was somebody there to look after him. And I can tell God's going to use him. You know, it's not where I wanted him.
No, of course not.
But
not me either.
But God has plans for him, bigger plans. And it's not my call.
Yeah.
You know, I just have to have faith that God is going to look after him.
Has the Lord surprised you in any way over these last few months?
Yes. I've been very surprised with a lot of things. How he is now, how calm he is now. He's at peace right now. Some days I wish I had that same peace, but but also others hear our story, and people who don't even know us will come out. I had a lady at church a couple weeks ago. It was an emotional Sunday, and she just saw me crying, and she said, "Can I pray with you?" And I said, "Yes, you can." And since then, we've been out on a walk, and she knows our story, and she just wants to help. And
yeah.
She's not the only one. There's so many others out there that are so willing to help in this situation.
Yeah, that's the body of Christ doing what it's designed mm-hmm. to do. What do you see for the future as far as you can discern?
I don't really know. I'm scared of the future. I know I'll be wherever he is. I can go visit him, and we'll be there as much as possible. I'm always going to be there for him.
Yeah.
We'll have lots of phone calls, and I will see what God has in store for him. We've had some wonderful talks the past 6 months or so, the best talks we've had in a long time.
Wow.
So I look forward to that to continue.
So, David, your parents have your back.
And yes, I do.
It's one of the most accurate pictures we can ever see on this earth of God's love for his children. So what's it like? I mean, you're sitting here talking about this with your mom. What's that like for you?
It's different. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It's nothing you really would expect to be talking to your mom. But like she said, in the past several months, we have not talked or had to talk like that in a long time. And that's mostly on me. I think in county jail, we talked to each other so much, we started running out of things to talk about. We knew everything going on. I call her 3 times a day every time, and it got to the point each night, you know, hey, how are you? Okay, what's happened the last 2 hours or so? Well, I drove home, so.
Yeah.
But we always found something to talk about, and since we've been out, you know, we've done all kind of things and just been talking. Heck, one night she just curled up outside on her back porch and I started reading the Bible to her when she was down. And it goes both ways. I have my moments too. I try to remain in there strong for her. But, you know, just coming out, just how they welcomed me, all my family, my grandparents, my sister, just everybody. And when I have my weak moments, she lifts me up or my dad lifts me up and we're all there for each other. So one, how she's going to lift me up, my dad's going to lift me up, or I'm going to lift them up. And that's what we try to do, and God's been doing that for each of us. And I think that was happening while I was in there. She told me about how I was real concerned about them. And Mom always told me, you know, when I'm down, Dad's there to lift me up. When Dad gets down, he's there to lift me up. So,
well, with you three, it just reminded me of Scripture, that a cord of 3 strands is not easily broken.
Yeah.
And you can see that. That's super obvious to see what God is doing in your family and in your life and with your faith, where he takes it from here will be amazing and not easy. I mean,
no, not by a long stride. No, it's not going to be easy at all.
But God is faithful and he's brought you this far. He doesn't love you any less than he did before the first time you ever saw porn or went down that road. Nothing touches that, which is hard for us to imagine because we hold things against each other all the time. And God doesn't. As far as the East is from the West, he's separated your sin.
And it sounds like we don't deserve it at all. It's like,
I don't
deserve it.
Now we just try to receive it and bask in it, and it changes us, and that's how we start to grow in Christ, and then we turn around and we want to give that away. You guys are giving it to each other, and your friends are involved, and your church is involved, and you're going to a place where there's massive brokenness, and you're walking in there with the only cure, which is really amazing. Marcia, thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. All right, let me get my other David in here. So David's been down this road. I met David a Friday morning Bible study that we both have been going for 10 or 12, 13 years, something like that. And then met David, and he introduced himself to me one Friday after. Why did you do that, by the way? He just comes up to me and kind of lays this on me. And says, "Hi, my name's David. Here's what my deal is." He had just become a Christian, just like what? Like a month or two before we met.
Exactly.
And this is what I'm facing. And in that moment, David, and I praise God for that moment, and I thank you that you gave me that opportunity. I heard Jesus. I mean, literally, you were talking. But I heard Jesus say, "Hey, Steve, I'm going to be in jail, and will you care?
You look like you could handle it." So that was it was a blessing.
But anyway, you spent 5.5 years, is that right?
I did. Had a 72-month sentence, 6 years, and of that, you do 85% of the time. So it was.
And when you go into jail, having anything to do with child pornography, anything to do with mistreating children, you're kind of marked.
You are. You and snitches are on the bottom rung of the prison hierarchy. So there are challenges there, but it's also opportunities. Yeah. You know, David, I've been so impressed with his walk through this, and it's just such a blessing that we've been able to walk with him through that. And, you know, he's been such an encouragement for us, and just seeing his spirit and the way God's moved in him has really just helped my wife and I just to see that there's opportunity that God can take any of this, the most broken of us, and use us for His glory.
Yeah, so which just you kind of remain in a constant state of amazement when I ask you how you're doing. You always start by laughing. It's just like you are right now because you're just shocked.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, you know, we met the other week and Steve asked me, "How are you doing?" And I just have to laugh because God is so good. I mean, you know, what I did and what David did is despicable. And I don't try to minimize that. But the amazing part of it is that God takes that and turns it into something that is incredible. And, you know, just the opportunities that He's given, you know, my marriage has been renewed in this whole process, and you would think it would have been broken, but God has restored it. Just my career, I thought it was over, and God's restored that into a way that I never would have thought possible. And, you know, just places to live and just everything that He's done. You know, we've been out, and I say we because my wife did time as well, and we've been out about 3 years now, and by that, I don't mean she was in prison, but she was...
was going through it in a different way than you. We only have a couple minutes left. What are your words of encouragement and wisdom and challenge, if you will, to the other David?
You know, I mean, we've talked about this, and, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we're a new creation, and, you know, that is the amazing opportunity that we have in Christ is that... You know, we don't have to be enslaved to that old life. And like you, David, I felt more free. I remember it like it was yesterday, walking around a prison yard surrounded by barbed wire and thinking, I am free. And that is such a miracle and such a blessing. And that's the hope that I have for David, and just the heart that I've seen him have today. I have no doubt that wherever he ends up, he's gonna do God's work.
Yeah, David, what's your response to that?
I look at him as just inspiration and hope. I mean, exactly what he said. I've never felt more free in there, and I'm thankful for everything he's done. I look at how his life's going right now, and that's exactly how I want my life to be.
And that's out there.
Yeah. And you know, I love everybody that's there to support me, and to the one I do love, I love, and you know, I'm appreciated for everything that they've given me.
And we love you, and we've got your back, and we'll stay in touch.
And Steve, just if anybody ever needs help with this, they can reach out to you, and you know how
to find us. Yeah, reach out to me, and please. I'll get you to David, and he'd be happy to help you. David Proctor, thanks for being here. David Chatham, Marcia, Herb, God bless you guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
God
friends,
bless.
There you go. Another incredible moment with the God of the universe. This is Steve Noble. This is Call to Action Radio, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.